I want to tell you about an interaction that didn't go so well. This is a little time ago, but I was just kind of out on a street, just praying and listening to the Lord, and kind of was drawn to a man that was some 8 to 10 inches taller than I was, and was a fairly chiseled individual, much like myself. And so I walked up to him and I said, I introduced myself, and I was like, you know, I don't know how I got into it. It's like, I'd like to share something with you tonight, if that'd be okay. And he looked at me and he's like, well, what is that? And I began to kind of just launch into sharing with him about who Jesus was. And he looked at me and he was becoming more hostile. He's kind of cold. And he goes, I don't want your Jesus. He said, I belong. And he seemed to get taller as he became angrier to me. And he said, I don't want your Jesus. In fact, I'm a member of the First Church of Satan. And he grew very tall right then. And I was like, hey, I'm good with that. And I ran off. But so draw whatever you want from that. That's just, he's a wimp. This week, I was in the clinic. I'm a physician and teach other physicians and family medicine. And one of my resident physicians came in. He had been with a mom and her 10-year-old son. She had brought her 10-year-old son in. And the chief complaint was that the 10-year-old son was having thoughts of murdering family members. And he wasn't having so much hallucinations. He was just having kind of intrusive thoughts about killing his family members. And before I share that, I want to share a verse in the Bible I keep in my mind a lot when I see people. It's John 8:44, and Jesus is raking the religious elite across the coals in this passage, but Jesus says to them, you belong to your father, the devil. A little social politic there. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. And this is the point. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning. And so my resident came in and told me this story, and I asked my resident, who's a Christian, I said, well, what do you think's going on? And he said, well, obviously this family is in deep trouble, and there's darkness in their home. And I said, yeah, I would agree with that, and would you like for me to go in with you? He said, I'd love it. And so walked in, and I sat down, and here's mom here, and the son is up on the exam table, and just introduced myself, and I said, hey buddy, what's going on with you, and why'd your mom bring you here? He explained that he was having thoughts about killing his brothers and sisters, and even his mom. His dad was in prison, and I looked over at the mom, and I said, this has been going on for some time, and he said, oh, probably 4 or 5 years. And I said to the mom, I said, do you know where those thoughts come from? And she's like, I have no idea. She was just undone. She was not only embarrassed, she was extremely afraid. I said, well, in this life, can I just speak openly to you? And she said, absolutely. I said, in this life, there are really only two potential places that you can live. There are two what we call kingdoms, and I'll describe what that means to you, but there's the kingdom of Satan and of his demons, and so that's darkness, and that's things that are part of that kingdom are like fear and murder and lies, and things like that. And I said, and then there's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and things that are part of that kingdom are him and truth and love and peace and right living before God. And I always ask questions. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And I often have them kind of explain back to me in their words. So this interaction went on probably for about 20 minutes. And I looked at the boy and I said, where do you think these thoughts are coming from? And he said, I think they're coming from the devil. And I said, you are right about that. And what do you think, who do you think Jesus is? And he said, the little boy paused and he goes, I think he's the creator of the universe. And I had not shared that with him, actually. I said, really, why do you think that? He said, I have a friend, and he named his friend, and he's been saying something to me about who Jesus is. A little boy friend. And I said, that's great. So what's going on? I looked back to the mom and said, what's going on in your home is this. The Satan and his kingdom is ruling in your home. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It just is. Do you understand that? She goes, no, that's exactly what's going on. And I said, would you like for Jesus to reign and to take over and for love and joy and peace and freedom from this fear to reign in your home? She goes, oh, yes. Yes, that's what I want. That's what I want. And so we explored what is separating them from Jesus, and that it was sin. And the little boy asked me this. He said, So I'm like born this way, separated from God. I said, yes, exactly. Perfect. And then we explained what Jesus did, who he was, and why he came, and the little boy understood every bit of it. And I said, would you like to know him? And he goes, yes, I would love to know him. And so we began to, I brought my resident into this, and the interesting, I have this conversation often, but the best thing about this was that the resident was sitting there. And I brought the resident, my family medicine resident, up, and we just locked arms around this mother and child, and they were both crying. And we just asked God the Father and the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus in power in their home and to protect them from the power of the enemy. And it was a powerful moment. I can't recreate it for you here, but it was the presence of the Holy Spirit was powerful. And so we left it there. And I walked out of the room, and my resident came back to me. And I said, we talked about how to follow up with them. And the mother and her son both asked him if they could come back next week because they would like to talk more about who Jesus is, and that they just really enjoyed the moment. And so where is the kid right now? Does he know Jesus? Does he not? Does his mom? They're well on the way. I don't know. But if you think of it, pray for them. They're coming back this week, and my resident was, he was encouraged because he knew how to do that, but he had never done that. And now he's emboldened to do that. So if you ever get a chance to model for someone, it's really worth the time.
So we wanted to tell you stories that interacted with people within crisis, within just normal job, didn't go well. Tim said a phrase in the elders meeting a couple weeks ago about evangelism, there's richness in the rejection. He said that phrase, it just caught me. There's richness in the rejection. We think that there's just the most terrible thing that could ever happen is somebody would reject this. Jesus is saying, blessed are you when they persecute me in my name. We got to get our minds changed about that. Tim was blessed by that interaction with that guy. And I bet you that guy, Tim, the presence of God was in Tim around that guy who's saying he's with the Satanist, whatever, you know? And that guy will probably have another interaction to Jesus seeking him out but Tim's blessed. Tim's blessed when the family says yes. Tim's blessed when the guy says, get out of my face, all right? Because we carry this good message.